Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Triangle Productions run of Five Lesbians Eating Quiche, starting November 28th and ending on December 20th at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza in Portland. This is a comedic look at the window of 1956's Susan B. Anthony Society for the Sisters of Gertrude Stein, as they sit in their renovated community center, sharing secrets as the threat of atomic apocalypse nibbles at their heels. Again, that's the Triangle Productions performance of Five Lesbians Eating Quiche at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland Saturday Market, open daily December 17th through December 24th for the Festival of the Last Minute. Saturday Market offers handmade art, crafts, and other gifts created by artists from the Pacific Northwest and is located at Southwest Ankeny and NATO Parkway in Waterfront Park. Information at PortlandSaturdayMarket.com.
At the dawn of the day, all the darkened kitchens, the mill of gray, all touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses. Marching, so many women dead. We cry through our city.
Welcome to Bread and Roses. Bread and Roses is a collective of women-identified radio activists bringing you feminist news and public affairs programming every Friday at 6 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO 90.7 FM. Women have had this forum on KBOO since 1978. That's 36 years. We always welcome new collective members. So if you would like to host, produce, or engineer with us, contact KBOO's volunteer manager. Her email is volunteer@kboo.org. You can also find Bread and Roses on the web, kboo.fm/breadandroses. There you can listen to past shows, share comments or show ideas, and of course you can like us on Facebook, KBOO Bread and Roses. I'm your host this evening, Delphine Crescenzo, and our engineer is Chris. Tonight on Bread and Roses, we celebrate women's sovereignty and authority over our own bodies with full spectrum doula Samantha Zapporo. I sat down with Samantha on Monday, and we talked about the importance of including all aspects of women's fertility in the conversation, including menstrual cycles, abortion, and miscarriage. We also discussed buddy literacy, and Samantha shared some good resources to learn more about the wonders of the female body. We will play my conversation with Samantha in just a few minutes, but first we are joined on the phone by Rhonda Case, an activist and advocate for women's rights. She is an organizer with We Will Speak Out, a movement of diverse faith groups from across the U.S., joining together with other leaders for action and advocacy to end the silence around sexual and gender-based violence. This Sunday, November 23rd, We Will Speak Out is calling for a global day of action called Speak Out Sunday. Rhonda, thank you so much for joining us this evening, and welcome back to Bread and Roses.
Delphine, I'm so glad to be with you. I'm so glad to be here with on the show where you're talking with Samantha, too.
Wonderful. Rhonda, can you tell us about Speak Out Sunday? What's happening on Sunday locally and globally? What are people speaking out about?
Absolutely, I can. Speak Out Sunday is a day for congregations and people of all faiths to unite in whatever way they feel led to do, to preach, to pray, discuss, learn, but in some way to join the movement to end the epidemic of sexual and gender-based violence, what IMA World Health calls SGBV in our communities and in our world. And this is just the third year for the U.S. campaign. This program, We Will Speak Out, actually began first in Congo and Tanzania, and then IMA World Health, which is an interfaith global public health outreach, realized that this was every bit as much a problem here in the United States as it is elsewhere in the world, and decided to bring it back home. It's very exciting.
And so this is a movement of diverse faith groups. Can you talk a little bit about what your group, what We Will Speak Out, believes is the responsibility of faith groups to speak out against violence against women?
Yes, indeed, because faith groups have been very courageous in social change movements and speaking around such issues as civil rights, around the death penalty, around ending war. And yet, in a very real way, this issue of intimate violence, what Dr. Eisler calls intimate violence or sexual gender-based violence, is both a public health epidemic, and it's also a spiritual crisis, and it's a peace and justice issue. So it's time that people of all faiths come together around this issue. And it's really one that goes beyond any particular creed or any particular dogma. I think once people, I know that sometimes statistics can make people kind of glaze over, but the one that I think captures people's attention often is that between 2001 and 2012, there were 6,488 American troops killed in Afghanistan and Iraq. During the same period, the number of American women who were murdered by a current or an ex-male partner was nearly 12,000. So this is absolutely a kind of silent crisis globally, and certainly our communities here in the United States are not exceptions.
And so there was a report that was published by the IMA World Health in 2014 called "Broken Silence: A Call for Churches to Speak Out." Can you talk a little bit about that report and the role that it plays in the We Will Speak Out movement?
I'd love to, because this is a new report, 2014. It follows a 2011 report by Tear Fund that was called "Silent No More," that highlighted the church's collective silence, if you will, or failure to respond to this issue around the world. But in 2014, Sojourners, which is a well-known faith collective, partnered with IMA World Health, and together they published "Broken Silence, A Call for Churches to Speak Out." It came out with some startling results. They found out that fully 74% of the faith leaders who were surveyed in this poll underestimated the level of sexual and domestic violence that is experienced within their congregations. And only 56% of the pastors were really familiar with the local resources that were available. So that means there were missed opportunities for them to reach out to victims and help accompany them to services, local services that could help them. And even the pastors who had handled incidents of violence, they admitted that some of what they were offering to people were, in fact, not appropriate supports. For example, offering couples counseling to a woman who would come to disclose that she was being battered, which can actually be a dangerous and even lethal step to take. And then in addition, Delphine, 65% of those who responded were good enough to admit that they spoke once a year or less about this issue at all, so that it was going completely unaddressed in congregations. Now, the exciting thing is people were candid, and over 80% said, we would love to have more education, more resources, and be able to address this in adult education, in our services, in our sermons or our Sabbath services and so on. So the result is of this that we're encouraged.
Yeah, and it looks like We Will Speak Out as a movement is trying to help also with some training resources. Can you talk a little bit about how faith groups can start the conversation with their congregations, and maybe how also they can use some of the resources you have available on the website?
Yes, while the subject might seem daunting to people, it is very simple and very straightforward to take the first step. So if folks will go to the website, which is wewillspeakout.us, they will find, first of all, a pledge. And that pledge can be signed online. It can be printed and distributed in a newsletter or in the Sunday or Sabbath bulletin. Mm. And that pledge says, we will speak out. We will be silent no more. We will stand together in solidarity with the most vulnerable and dedicate ourselves to finding lasting solutions. It goes on. It's very inspiring. It's not about a certain creed. And so that's a first step. We're Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon has partnered with IMA World Health, and Randy Ellison and I are co-coordinators in Oregon. Our hope is that Oregon will show in November and on into December 2014, not just one Sunday, this Sunday Speak Out Sunday, but mm-hmm. every Sunday somewhere in 2014 can be Speak Out Sunday, and that individuals and faith communities will begin with this pledge, begin by signing online, and then we'll think about looking at the resources online. There is a sermon guide. There are teaching ideas. There are all kinds of data sheets and things that can be downloaded for education, suggestions about how to reach out to get speakers in from maybe the local rape crisis center, domestic violence shelter. And it's really about connecting our faith communities with the resources and addressing this publicly so that the stigma is removed. After all, 1 in 5 men in the congregation was undoubtedly abused as a boy in some way. Mm. And 1 in 3 women in the congregation. So we need to shine the light, as David Leslie said in his editorial on the Oregonian last year. It's time to shine the light in the darkness mm-hmm. around this issue.
Thank you so much for sharing all these very concrete steps that people can be taking on this Sunday, November 23rd, but any Speak Out Sunday, as you say. For people who might think, you just shared numbers that are pretty clear, but for people who might think maybe there's no problem with gender-based violence within their congregation, how would you invite them to, in fact, investigate this and try to find out whether this is true or not? Before they make a call?
That is such an important question, because that is in the poll that was done in the Broken Silence Report. One of the reasons pastors gave that they said they weren't addressing it was because they thought it wasn't a problem in their community. They're simply wrong. There are many people who had very adverse childhood experiences when they were young, perhaps saw their mother battered. Maybe their family isn't directly suffering, but there are still wounds there that need to be addressed. And I encourage your listeners to read, if they haven't already, the editorial by the Multnomah County Circuit Judge Amy Holmes that was done on the 11th of November, because last Monday there was yet again another murder of a woman who had done everything right. She had tried to leave her abuser. She tried to get a restraining order. A local shelter or a local domestic violence center can send a speaker, and maybe, it would behoove the faith leader, pastor, rabbi, to go to the center and just say, look, I need more education about this to start with, and then can you come and speak to my congregation?
Mm-hmm. And there are lots and lots of organizations here in the Portland area, metro area, and all over Oregon that are working on these issues.
There certainly are. Well, this is the thing. IMA World Health, the executive director, was here in Oregon mm-hmm. again this year, and he said, Oregon is already getting it. We're already stepping into this work. We already have so much going on that is what ideally we hope will be going on around the country. And so we kind of have been given a challenge here to see if we can just show the rest of the country how it is we do it, we speak out. Mm-hmm. So Ainsworth United Church of Christ is having 2 survivors in the pulpit this Sunday. Salem United Church of Christ had a full 3-week class last year for adult education, and people are getting creative about it.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So there's lots of possibilities out there. Rhonda, as we conclude this short segment so that people can know that this Sunday is Speak Out Sunday, could you tell us, what would happen if this conversation finally came to the light, if all of us were having these conversations, what could we accomplish together if we all speak out?
Well, we can transform society, there's no doubt about it. I think we can challenge patriarchy and misogyny in our theology. Reverend Ron Clark, who comes from Agape Ministries in Portland, is already doing that. His books really, speak to setting the captives free, and he's talking about women in a society and religious framework that too often suppresses women's beauty and treats it in ways that are not sacred. So we can change society, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so this is a beautiful way to end, knowing what the interview that's coming next with Samantha Zipporah. Thank you so much, Rhonda, for being with us this evening, for taking the time.
Thanks are all mine.
Yes, and thank you, all of you, for tuning in to Bread and Roses. The website, again, is wewillspeakout.us. It is Speak Out Sunday on November 23rd. You're listening to Bread and Roses. I'm Delphine Crescenzo. We're going to take a short musical break, and then when we come back, we'll listen to my conversation with Full Spectrum Doula Samantha Zipporah about women's sovereignty and the authority we have over our own bodies. Stay tuned.
I do it for the joy it brings, 'cause I am a joyful girl, 'cause the world owes me nothing. We owe each other the world, and I do it 'cause it's the least I can do. I do it 'cause I learned it from you, and I do it just because I want to. 'Cause I want to. Everything I do is judged, and they mostly get it wrong, but oh well. The bathroom mirror has not budged, and the woman who lives there can tell the truth from the stuff that they say. She looks me in the eye, says, "Would you prefer the easy way?" No, well, okay then. Don't cry.
This is Anya DeFranco, Joyful Girl. You're listening to Bread and Roses. I'm Delphine Crescenzo. We turn now to the conversation, our conversation about women's sovereignty, and really talking about the authority that we have over our bodies. And we are going to have this conversation with Full Spectrum Doula Samantha Zipporah. I sat down with Samantha on Monday, and we talked about the importance of including all aspects of women's fertility in the conversation, including the menstrual cycles, abortions, and miscarriage. We also discussed body literacy, what it means to know your body, and Samantha shared some very good resources for all of us to start learning about the wonders of the female body. Samantha Zipporah is a Full Spectrum Doula and holistic holistic sexual health educator. She believes the mind, body, and spirit connection deserve reverence and respect. Sam finds great inspiration from the places that science and spirituality fortify one another. The roots of her studies are in traditional midwifery, womb-to-tomb style care. Sam has been supporting peers with fertility and pregnancy experiences for over a decade in personal, professional, and clinical context. Her website, if you wanted to find out more, is www.SamanthaZipporah.com. Let me spell that for you. Samantha, S-A-M-A-N-T-H-A. Zipporah is Z-I-P-P-O-R-A-H. Now, this is it, folks. Let's go to Samantha Zipporah. Samantha, welcome to Bread and Roses. I'd love to start with the disconnect, really, that exists between the way women have given birth ancestrally versus the way that we give birth in our society today.
There's a lot to be said about that. I think first you have to look at the basics of our physiology, which was one of the most shocking things to me when I first started studying birth, was to learn that it is not normal for women to give birth on their backs. Mm-hmm. It's just totally physiologically bizarre and uncomfortable and not good for the baby's head and not good for our muscles. So squatting and all fours are way more common if you want to look at the way we've been giving birth throughout history and the way that our bodies were designed to give birth. If you want to talk about cultural aspects of our birthing practices, there's a lot of things that would be different from culture to culture around the world, but I think it's very consistent that it would be very much more of a spiritual and a family-oriented event, not a medical event, right? So the medicalization of birth is really very new throughout our history. It's like 100-150 years maybe, and it's a very specifically for-profit commodification sort of a situation here. And ancestrally, I think there's a lot more singing and dancing going on around our birth practices and a lot more reverence.
Yeah, it's the medicalization of birth, but also of pregnancy, right? And the pregnancy being treated as an illness almost, and the delivery as well.
Totally. I mean, I would take it farther and just say that our fertility is treated like an illness in our culture in general. It's like, oh, you have a problem here. Let me take care of it with pills and surgery.
Yeah.
So Sheila Kitzinger is a really amazing cultural anthropologist who's one of my favorite authors around birth and mothering, if folks are interested in reading more about ancestral and cultural practices.
Yeah, absolutely. Would you say her name again?
Sheila Kitzinger.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so let's talk about how, you know, because now you will go to the doctor or you would go to the hospital for birth. However, there are alternatives such as doulas and midwives. Can you talk a little bit about the very rich but little known history of the role that doulas and midwives have played in supporting birth and pregnancy and fertility?
Right. Well, I think that it's important to know that the level of specialization that is happening in today's culture, where doulas and midwives carry this very specialized niche around birth, is a very new thing. And historically, your midwife was the medicine woman, was the shaman, was womb-to-tomb care that took care of life and death and illness and everything that came in between. It was just a character in your village that was present, and it was much more holistic. And when I say holistic, I mean mind, body, and spirit. So it wasn't like you had a character that lived in your community that was just taking care of birth and pregnancy. It was much more well-rounded. And that's closer to my heart and the mm-hmm. practice that I like to do in the world. If you look at etymology mm-hmm. of doula, it's Greek for slave girl.
Ooh, interesting.
That takes care of your bodily fluids.
Okay.
So we're talking about urine and menstruation mm-hmm. and maybe fluids that come with birth, but it's very much a role of humility.
Mm-hmm.
And midwife simply means with woman. Mm-hmm. So it's not the same as a doctor or an obstetrician at all. It's just somebody who's with you. And even in our modern concept of what a midwife is so much more like a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And they're taking care of all of these aspects of your health that are medical aspects.
Mm-hmm.
Birth doulas have only been a specialized profession since about the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
In our culture. And I think before then, throughout history, it was a role that was taken by your auntie or your mama or your sister. And just women knew about birth. Mm-hmm. They knew how to support each other. And I have a lot of grief really around how specialized and commodified my skills and knowledge are. And I feel really grateful to do this work and that I have a really clear path. And I'm passionate about it. Yet at the same time, I'm sad that what I know is not universally known.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's like this little tiny niche.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, hopefully with this show, we're going to try to
spread more information.
Yeah, spread the word a little bit. Yeah. So would you describe, because you are a doula, a full spectrum doula, and we're going to talk in a little bit what the full spectrum aspect means. Would you describe a little bit the role of a doula and how it would support the pregnant woman and her community?
Right. I love that you include community mm-hmm. in this question, because that's really dear to my heart to actually shift culture and community, and to be a resource, yes, to women as individuals,
mm-hmm.
but to be a conduit of resources and information to support a family and to support a community as a whole. Classically, doulas provide informational, emotional, and physical support. Birth doulas provide those things throughout pregnancy and the birth experience, so there's a lot of education, advocacy within the hospital system, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on what the woman needs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a good doula will tailor her service to each individual woman. And my service can include anything from book recommendations to healthcare recommendations to massage, yoga, meditation techniques. Mm-hmm. It's really different for each woman and what she needs.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is something, a role that we have played as women for each other ancestrally throughout, you know, our life and existence. And I feel today that maybe women are not even knowing that, you know, such people like you exist, women who are carrying on this knowledge exist. But they might also just think that, oh, this is just, you know, something fancy. Do I really need it?
Right.
Is that important?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why would a woman actually, in fact, want to have a doula?
Well, it'll cut your chance of cesarean and intervention almost in half or more.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the most recent studies,
mm-hmm.
but if you're interested in birthing without interventions or avoiding a cesarean, which are all too common in our culture, having a doula is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The emotional support that you can get from a doula, I think, is beyond what is available in most. I won't say all, but in most relationships, interpersonally and family and care provider wise, because they're just there for you.
Mm-hmm.
They're not looking at you clinically, analytically, trying to assess, you know, your blood pressure or your dilation. They're like, how are you
mm-hmm.
truly, and how can I support you in this experience and make you feel more comfortable, make you feel more confident and empowered? And I think that continuity of care,
mm-hmm.
peace is really pivotal.
Mm-hmm.
Working with women throughout an entire experience, prenatally and the birth and postpartum, and just knowing that that person will absolutely be there, especially if you're birthing in a hospital where you have no idea who the staff that happens to be on shift mm-hmm. is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes, there's a free doula program, and I'm using little finger quotation marks when I say free doula, going on in Providence Hospital okay. right now. And you meet those women while you're in labor.
Hmm.
And there's no continuity of care. There's no prenatal care mm-hmm. and there's no postpartum care from that doula.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just one more stranger that you meet. And that's awesome that they're not medical providers, but it's still a very different experience than having a doula who's with you prenatally and the birth and mm-hmm. postpartum. And I've had multiple potential clients be like, oh, I have a free doula now.
Mm.
I'm not interested in working with you.
Mm.
And I stress that it's a really different experience because birth in a healthy way is an altered state of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And meeting someone in an altered state of consciousness, they have a very diminished ability to support you mm-hmm. and advocate for you as an individual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like the relationship building of the 9 month or even more potentially is what's going to help the doula be your advocate at the time of birth when you are
yeah.
in this alternate state of mind.
Yeah.
Completely.
I feel like it's the difference between supporting an animal or supporting an individual.
Mm-hmm. Now that's straightforward. So you are a full spectrum doula. Would you talk a little bit about what that means and the different comprehensive services that you offer for women who are pregnant or not?
So full spectrum doula is a term that is gaining popularity, but is not totally universal yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's gaining popularity to mean that you support a full spectrum of pregnancy experiences, and that can include but is not limited to birth, abortion, miscarriage, and adoption.
Mm-hmm.
All of these experiences are profound and include an intrapartum and a postpartum period and something moving through you that requires and deserves a level of intimacy and support that is not readily available in most medical models and in most relationships, like mm-hmm. the kind of unwavering support that a doula provides.
Mm-hmm.
So full spectrum to me is that full spectrum of pregnancy experiences, but I take it a little farther and I provide full spectrum fertility experiences. So I'm an advocate and an educator and a support person for people trying to figure out what kind of contraceptive they want or how to support conception and just helping people understand what exactly their options are and make decisions that serve them.
A father's pride and joy, somebody's mother, brother, best friend, sister, lover, maybe an A1 student, running, hiding, taking cover. The women gather, crying tears that fill a million oceans. It doesn't matter where you're living. The women gather, crying tears that fill a million oceans.
People say, not in this neighborhood. It doesn't happen here. Our kids have everything. What do we have to fear? But what about the ones who say this happens every day? Drugs and violence take our children. How much more...
You're listening to Bread and Roses. I'm Delphine Crescenzo. We just finished listening to Sweet Honey and the Rock, The Women Gather. This evening, we are playing a conversation about women's sovereignty and authority over their bodies with full-spectrum doula Samantha Zipporah. I went on to ask Samantha about the importance of including all aspects of women's fertility in the conversation, and this is what she had to say. If you could describe a little bit what is it really important that we include all these aspects of women fertility in the conversation, right? Including talking about the menstrual cycle and abortion and miscarriage when we are talking about fertility and maternal care.
I feel like without including fertility and menstruation in the conversation, I mean, you're losing so much of what it is to be a woman.
Yeah.
What percentage of women are actively pregnant or birthing at this moment? And what percentage of women are in some other form, at some other life cycle phase? And how do we educate and empower and support them wherever they're at so that when they do become pregnant or choose to have a baby, that they're coming from a place of confidence and self-awareness and self-determination that then changes the way that they mother their children mm-hmm. and changes culture entirely.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like our menstrual cycle is a little microcosm of the macro
mm-hmm.
of all of creation.
Absolutely.
Which includes pregnancy. And there's so much that is connected and parallel with the way that you respect and understand your menstrual cycle and your fertility, and then the way that you will respect and understand and be present for your pregnancy and your birth. And going back to this concept of micro and macrocosm, mm-hmm. I feel like respecting and supporting and honoring our fertility and our menstrual cycle is one of the most powerful ways that we can be activists for the entire earth,
mm-hmm.
right? So our bodies are of the earth mm-hmm. and the way that we are treating the environment and the earth itself
mm-hmm.
is it's a totally shameful, scary thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so our bodies, specifically as women, men's bodies are of the earth too, but mm-hmm. because we cycle as women, because we have this intensity of this cycle that we move through mm-hmm. these phases and we're constantly changing exactly like the seasons. So I've worked teaching young girls,
mm-hmm.
which I love because that's like how you shift culture is you
yes.
work with the preteens.
Absolutely.
And if you'll bear with me for a minute.
Please.
There's four seasons. There are generally, not always, but generally 4 weeks in the menstrual cycle
mm-hmm.
and 4 distinct phases of the moon cycle. And each, these things all correspond. So by honoring and connecting with your menstrual cycle and actually being present with it, you are honoring and being present with the cycles of the earth and the cycles of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the reality is that the majority of my generation
mm-hmm.
is choosing not to ovulate.
Mm. Birth control.
By using synthetic hormones that are benefiting pharmaceutical companies, but who owns them and what are they doing to the environment?
Yeah, and deteriorating the environment, absolutely.
Right. And I'm not anti-birth control by any means, but what I want to make sure is happening is that people are actually making truly informed decisions. And I feel very, very few women are making informed decisions about their birth control
mm-hmm.
and their contraceptives, and that it's a lot of silencing and ignoring
mm-hmm.
our bodies. Christiane Northrup has
yeah.
a really beautiful quote about the use of birth control to deal with any kind of menstrual issue
mm-hmm.
or, you know, acne or mood swings. Lots of people use birth control for these
Very
reasons.
True.
And she says that it's like taking duct tape and covering up your check engine light and continuing to drive down the road like nothing is happening.
That's a very powerful quote.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. Our bodies are constantly communicating with us, and this communication is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing gift.
Yeah, and if you ignore it, then that's when things
Yeah.
To wind up too well. You know, let's continue on this, you know, very empowering conversation because you tell women that you work with, quote, you are the authority.
Right.
Right. Can you explain what you mean by that and talk about body literacy and sovereignty? Because that's exactly what that is, right? We don't know.
It's a relationship. You know, yes, culture is oppressive. Yes, we're suffering from mis and disinformation and patriarchy, but we as women have that power to make the choice to be autonomous, to be sovereign, to be literate with our bodies. So these are terms that I've been using and exploring a lot recently, body literacy and sovereignty. Mm-hmm. And literacy is the ability to read or write with proficiency. So body literacy is the ability to read your body and to write your own story. Because we do have that power. Mm-hmm. We really do. And sovereignty has a really political implication in its self-governance.
Mm-hmm.
It's supreme rulership
mm-hmm.
of your own body. And this is ultimately what I want to give women and support women having. And they already do. So I want to create a reflection to them mm-hmm. and a container that they can see it.
Mm-hmm.
And they can create communication and create connection with their bodies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and maybe understand also what control they don't yet have but could take over.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The places where they're giving it away.
Absolutely.
Or surrendering it, relinquishing it.
Mm-hmm. So you say that you work with preteens, young people. What do you tell young girls about their body?
The core and the foundation of all of my work is in physiology and biology.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first and foremost foundation for any kind of work I'm going to do with education.
Mm-hmm.
And then upon that, we as individuals can find our own emotional and spiritual relationship with our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to make sure, absolute sure, that these young girls understand their biology and their physiology. And the reality is that I'm teaching the 10-year-olds things that most 30-year-olds, that their moms will like call me up and be like, oh, my daughter came home and taught me this thing about our fertility that I had no idea. And it's not too complicated for 10-year-olds to understand.
Yeah. No, it's,
and it's
not.
It's like an aspect of systematic oppression that all 10-year-olds don't understand this.
Mm-hmm.
So
I was wondering if you can talk a little bit more about the support that you offer to women who are thinking about or have made decision about abortion.
Right. Well, the mirror that I was just talking about, holding up a reflection so that they can see themselves and how powerful they are,
mm-hmm.
is number one. Reflective listening, heart-centered listening, creating a space where they can truly be themselves and express themselves
mm-hmm.
and know that I'm going to respect them and accept them unconditionally, whatever it is that they're going through. It really depends on what point in their process they come to me. I have done a lot of in-clinic procedure support
mm-hmm.
as a doula, which is, you know, basic pain coping mechanisms and breathing and meditation and visualization and massage. That education piece on basic physiology and biology, again, is the core of all of my work, is making sure that people understand exactly what is physically going on, because that can be really soothing and grounding, and that part of our body is like such a mystery to so many people
mm-hmm.
in general, and it doesn't need to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, again, it's whatever the woman needs.
You have lots of suggestions of books on your website of things that people can read to get that knowledge, to understand. Would you share some resources with us?
Oh, yeah. Well, Christian Northrup, who I quoted earlier,
mm-hmm.
Is definitely one of my major heroes. The book Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom is a book that I wish I could put in everybody's hands.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry Winston's Anatomy of Arousal, mm-hmm. another really important book. There are so many amazing books. Mm-hmm. Woman Code by Alyssa Vitti mm-hmm. is spectacular. And I have a whole bookshelf for Powell set up on my website if people want to go great. To SamanthaZipporah.com. Mm-hmm. You can browse my bookshelves, and if you purchase books there, then I get a small percentage, which I then invest in having a greater lending library because I have doubles of a lot of my favorite books to give to my clients.
And the website would be listed on the KBOO website as well.
Awesome.
So that people can go. I'm just wondering, what would you recommend to women who are inspired and interested in learning about their bodies? The reading is one. What are other things that women can do at any age, any time, to learn about themselves?
Journaling is a really great place to start. A practice of morning pages where you just get up and write mm-hmm. for 2 pages, 3 pages. Masturbation mm-hmm. is a pretty amazing way to get to know your body and understand the power within it. Mentally, going to this space where you feel yourself worrying about your body in any way, change that worry to wonder is one of my favorite tools to teach people. And it takes a lot of practice.
Mm-hmm. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Turning worry to wonder or turning concern to curiosity. Mm-hmm. So we have just such a massive fear culture about having a sensation that's unfamiliar or something that you might want to call pain. Mm-hmm. Right? If you treat it with curiosity and listen, there's a message there that is really valuable, and it's usually about how you need to move or how you need to change or what is changing already in your body. I feel like I'm getting a little esoteric
here. No, it's very helpful.
Listening to your body and being in communication, mm-hmm. Treating it as wise. Mindfulness movement practices like Qigong or yoga, talking to other women, talking about it.
That's one of the most
frequent questions I get from the huge spectrum of women that I work with at different stages of fertility, pregnancy, birth, is, am I normal? And 99% of the time, yes. That is totally normal. And if everybody just talked about it openly, they wouldn't be freaking out mm-hmm. and worried whether or not they were normal. So just having open conversations with the other women in your life mm-hmm. and having that open conversation with your own body and journaling, mm-hmm. like I spoke. And check out my suggested reading list. Mm-hmm. It's ever expanding. And
so thank you so much for all the tips. But I was wondering also, what inspired you to become a doula, and what would you say to anybody out there who is interested in maybe pursuing this line of work as well?
I'm one of those folks that is really blessed with having a clear path. Mm-hmm. And I cannot say that there was a thing or a moment that inspired me to be a doula. It was just an inherent part of who I am and what I do within a community and within my relationships, mm-hmm. literally starting at like 12, 13 years old.
Wow.
I say that my first doula job was helping a girl put in a tampon. I was 11, actually, and she was 12, and I just talked her through the process outside of a bathroom door, and I wasn't afraid of it. Mm-hmm. I was calm and curious and like, let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's a little off topic. But yeah, I've been doing this work for a long time. I worked at Planned Parenthood for several years. I did patient advocacy and peer mediation and peer education as a teenager there. Mm. And then I was a nanny for a woman who was having a home water birth. And that was when I started becoming passionate and interested in birth.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my friends got pregnant, and I started studying to support her and be with her because mm-hmm. I love her. And I was 19. So I've just been doing the work and on the path literally since my own menarche.
Mm-hmm.
And for other women that are interested in being a doula, I would say that you probably already are one. And yes, there are credentials and there are trainings, but that I would really encourage you to embrace this reality that you are already inherently capable of being with women through these processes, and that it's most important to check in and be with yourself first. I think that I see a lot of young women interested in doing doula work who have yet to really be present with their own bodies and their own process as fertile and sexual creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's integral, if you're going to do this work, that you become present and aware of who you are and where you are, so that you can support other women doing the same thing. And just be aware of, is this your curiosity around what it is to be a woman and what it is to give birth in this very natural kind of ancestral communal way? Or is this actually your calling for a career path and figuring out which one that it is?
Mm-hmm.
There's tons of different certification options and trainings out there. I suggest you start by talking to women
mm-hmm.
and by reading. And I'm probably a little biased because that's how I did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was attending birth for years before I ever went and took a training
mm-hmm.
or even knew what the word doula was. I was like, oh, there's a word. Oh, there's a profession. Oh, interesting. But the heart of my education is really listening to women.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started talking to women about their experiences and listening to them. And that is really how I learned and being present for myself.
Mm-hmm. So thank you for that. We are going to have to wrap up. I was wondering if, you know, you could highlight for the audience some of the services that you offer. You have workshops and private classes and mentoring and all kinds of different things. If you could share some of that and how people could get in touch with you.
Yeah. Well, my website will be linked.
Yeah, absolutely.
At the KBOO website, so folks can read and research more in depth. I've been doing what I call sovereignty sessions on a wide range of women's health issues, regardless of if you're struggling with some kind of infection or you're not sure what kind of contraception is good for you or you're recovering from an abortion or a miscarriage. Sovereignty sessions are individual sessions where I'm focused on being that heart-centered, reflective listener and then connecting with resources and options for holistic healing. So holistic being mind, body, and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's such a buzzword. Those things are not separate. It's mm-hmm. really wanting to meet a woman and respect and honor the fact that those things are whole.
Mm-hmm.
You are a whole of those aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to just look at one of them when I support you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so sovereignty sessions are available to everybody. And then I've recently begun a mentorship program that is committing to working with me for 3 months and meeting twice a month and having email correspondence once a week. And that is for anybody who wants to work for transformation within their health and their relationship with their body. So many people, I don't know anybody who has like amazing perfect cycles. Right? It's very few people.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah.
anybody that wants to become more present,
yeah.
aware, supported, empowered mm-hmm. within their fertility and their sexual health.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Yeah, thank you for offering the full spectrum.
Right. And then, of course, yeah, I offer traditional birth doula services as well as miscarriage and abortion.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Samantha, for being with us and for sharing all the resources available and also empowering us with the knowledge.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. You're listening to Bread and Roses. I'm Delphine Crescenzo. We just finished listening to an interview I conducted this week with Samantha Zipporah. Again, I would like to encourage you to go check out her website for more information and to look at all the resources that she talked about and named during the interview. Her website is SamanthaZipporah.com. Let me spell her name for you, Samantha. S-A-M-A-N-T-H-A. Zipporah is Z-I-P-P-O-R-A-H.com. I also want to thank Rhonda Case, who joined us at the beginning of the show today, talking about Speak Out Sunday, an initiative from the movement We Will Speak Out. And it is a movement of diverse faith groups from across the U.S. joining together with other leaders for action and advocacy to end the silence around sexual and gender-based violence. So again, this Sunday, November 23rd, Speak Out Sunday. Make sure that you engage folks in your congregation and have conversations about gender-based violence, domestic violence with the folks in your congregations. Thank you again, Rhonda Case. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in to Bread and Roses, and thank you, Chris, for engineering. We are a collective of women-identified radio activists, and we bring you feminist news and public affairs programming every Friday at 6. We are always looking for new collective members, so if you would like to host or produce or engineer with us, you can contact KBOO's volunteer manager. Her name is Ani Haynes, and her email is volunteer@kboo.org. You can also find Bread and Roses on the web, kboo.fm/breadandroses. There you can listen to past shows. For example, you could listen to the show if you missed some of it today. You can also share comments with us or show ideas. You can even suggest, it was suggested that we interview Samantha Zipporah. We do not know and are not connected to all the amazing women and the amazing work that's happening out there. So please let us know if you would like us to cover something in particular. And of course, you can find us on Facebook, KBOO Bread and Roses. Again, wonderful place for you to know what's coming up on Fridays and leave us comments and show ideas if you have any. I would like to wish you all a wonderful week, and I'm going to leave you with Beyoncé. This is Grown Women.
Being young and so fresh, I knew what I needed. I was spending all my nights and days, lay back, daydreaming. Look at me, I'm a big girl now. Said I'm gonna do something. Told the world I would paint this town. Now bitches, I run this. Cause I put it. I want.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, 91.9 FM Hood River and the Gorge, 104.3 FM Philomath and Corvallis, and of course online at www.kbu.fm. You just got done hearing Bread and Roses. Stay tuned for Hard Knock Radio coming up next.
Oh, pirates, yes, to my mind.
Hear poetry from the prisoners at the Oregon State Penitentiary.
Hood anthems become multi-million dollar commercial jingles. But the question is, who's getting paid and who's really getting played? Such a volatile minefield.
In this world of cold concrete and lifeless steel, there is no warmth here, no affection, no touch.
But more than the cacophonous conversation, I crave the pleasure of feeling myself. I need you to keep me sensitive.
Hear the Uhuru Sasa Poetry Share on Prison Pipeline, November 24th at 6:30 p.m.
Triumphantly, won't you help me sing this song of freedom?
Join KBOO Saturday afternoon from 5 to 7 p.m. for your weekly dose of the blues. The first and third Saturday, Tom Wendt. And the second and fourth Saturdays, we welcome back Lenita Duke to the KBOO airwaves. That's Saturday afternoon blues at 5 p.m. on your community radio station, KBOO Portland. Peace, y'all.